Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Tuesday and Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also pick it up on our numerous platforms, including Podomatic, that's our flagship platform, as well as Amazon, iHeart, Spotify, and a few others. It's brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp, and we expect to be probably filled by next month or so. We already have about, I think, 70 applications in, and we're pretty much full, about 150, 160, but it's good stuff. So if you're interested, I recommend you sign up as soon as possible. Also, we have a ladies' retreat coming up April 12th to the 14th in Alton, New Hampshire. And we have a family weekend retreat last weekend in September. And that's going to be at the Camp Sentinel, which is a few towns away from us here in Tuftonboro, New Hampshire. And also, we have events throughout the year. Just visit our website and look at our calendar. And if you're so inclined, why not host one of our people, one of our speakers at your event? Or host it, either way. So the website is campconstitution.net. Also, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe. We've got something like almost 400 subscribers since January, and that's good. It's not going to put a big dent. Joe Rogan isn't worrying about us, but we're making some inroads here and there. Now, today, so much to talk about. So much is happening. Looks like our country is imploding, especially with the illegal aliens coming across. The Senate bill basically solidifies illegal immigration, only 5,000 a day. Then we'll close the border. And you get some Republicans, I think, that are buying into that, not surprised, this uniparty. But folks, this purpose of the open borders, we've mentioned this before, is to these people are basically shock troops for the Biden administration. Biden administration, whether or not they have a formal agreement with the Mexican cartels, but these will be their soldiers, their foot soldiers to destroy us. And if you don't believe that, look what they did in New York City recently. A gang of them beat up a few cops. And what do? They get arrested. Now, we're not talking about jaywalking, even something like, stealing a bag of chips at the convenience store. We're talking about assault. And when you see the viciousness and with attempt to kill, they let them go and they give us the middle finger. And how can you blame them? You know, they have nothing but contempt for us. And so the New York prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, is in on this. And so I want to mention what happened in the Roxbury section of Boston to demonstrate how much the Democrats hate blacks. Even though over the years, the blacks have been very loyal Democrats. They will vote Democrat 90%, 95% of the time, especially if the candidate's black. They will vote for that black candidate, Democrat, over. They'll even vote for a white Democrat over a black Republican. But in Roxbury, there's a recreational center called the Molina Cass Rec Center. It's owned by the state. And by the way, that's one of the problems we have when a government entity owns a place where families go, you know, whether it's a swimming pool, a rec center, a gymnasium, or whatever the case is. If they control that, they can tell you to take a hike. And that's what they did. Now, Roxbury is predominantly, there's some gentrification, but it's predominantly black, Hispanic. And the Molina Cass rec center is used by families. It's used by, you know, basically a good place to be to get away from things. It's a recreation. I think they have a track there. I think they have basketball. I don't know if they have a pool. I'm not sure. But it's basically a very important part of the community. And the white liberal, I should say white Marxist governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey. Now, why do you say Marxist? It's a little strong. No, I'd say communist would be a better term. During the height of the, and she was the attorney general of Massachusetts before she became governor. But during the height of the George Floyd riots, she said something to the effect, yeah, but she said they're burning the cities, but you know, the forest has to burn for it to come back stronger or something to that effect. So she was okay with the looting and rioting and murder because the end of result is what they want. You know, the actions and the reaction and then, you know, burning things down and whatever comes after that, this is what they want. So So she gets elected. She's also a lesbian. So I guess that's so important to be the first openly gay. And being openly gay is probably gets why she's there. Well, folks, when you hire people based on their sexual orientation or the color of the skin, and they're not qualified, you're looking, it's a prescription for disaster. And this is what happened. She got in by a comfortable margin, too, in Massachusetts, I think 65-35. And she, of course, Massachusetts, sanctuary state, they love illegals, bring them all in. And now they're coming in, and now they're a problem. They were actually sleeping at Logan Airport in Boston, and they decided, well, you can't have them in the terminals. That's not really a good place for them. Ah, we have a place. We'll put them in that rec center. It's in that predominantly black neighborhood, and I have complete control of the black community. So don't worry about it. There'll be no opposition whatsoever. We take them for granted. And she didn't put him in Dover, Massachusetts. She didn't put him in Newton, Massachusetts. She didn't put him in Wellesley, all these left-wing wealthy strongholds. She puts him in Roxbury. And true to, and by the way, what she did is proof. It's a classic example of the Iron Triangle. Now, let me explain that. Vince Ellison, who's become a friend of ours, a friend of mine, wrote this book. He's a black conservative Christian. And he said this was his first book, The Iron Triangle. In fact, I tried to, I wanted to have him on. I've interviewed him before, but it was a short notice. So hopefully I'll get him on in a little, in the next few weeks. But he said that the black clergy, the black politician, whether it be a selectman, city council, mayor, congress member, Senate, U.S. Senator, and the black social worker work together to they're controlled by the White Democrat National Committee, the White Democrat Party. And they deliver the vote for the Democrats, and they have complete free rein in these communities. And so when they announced that they were going to say, oh, hey, blacks, go away. You can't come here anymore because we're housing illegals, most of them from South America, but they're coming from all over the world. They're replacing you. We don't need you anymore. And Ayanna Pressley, the member of the squad, what did she do? Did she say, this is racism? This is white supremacy? No. She deflected. She said, Walgreens is closing their another drugstore. This is the third one in Boston. This is racism. Yes, Walgreens is in business to be robbed, for their employees to be in fear of their lives. And losing money and the business to lose money. That's what she thinks. Drugstores are there to serve looters and robbers. So she doesn't go out against the people looting. She says the company's racist. Well, that's what she did. She said nothing about, as far as I know, she didn't oppose this. You go to her Facebook page, go to her website, nothing about this. Oh, what about Black Lives Matter? Oh, yes, Black Lives Matter Boston. That was the darling of the big corporations, the Boston Red Sox, all the sports teams are all kneeling at the feet, giving them tons and tons of money. I think the top leader was under indictment. It must be pretty bad when the federal government even indicts these people. But I go to their Facebook page, and it's not a word about this. Then I go, I won't mention his name, but he's a clergy member that I know in Boston. He's the first one to cry racism. Nothing. Nothing, folks. Now, there's been some opposition, but it's not the leadership. Why? Because the so-called leadership that's voted in or put some, they become leaders by proxy or just because they say they're leaders. And this is an example of this Iron Triangle and how they deliver the vote. So hopefully, and this is happening all over the country. It's not just in Roxbury. It's happening in Chicago, Los Angeles, all these large black communities that are controlled by the Democrat Party. And I'm just hopeful that enough black Americans are waking up. Now, I understand, according to some polls, and I never trust polls, that many blacks are turning away from Biden. Hey, Biden, you're not helping us any. Things are getting worse here. We don't have money. We can't afford to buy anything, thanks to your economy. Meanwhile, you're sending all the money to Ukraine for their borders, but not our borders. And low what's the right word? Low these illegal aliens. They want them to give them job permits or green cards, and basically take over where the blacks are. So put them out of business. That's what they're doing, folks. And if you happen to, if you have friends, if you're listening to this, you're in the black community, you've got to take a stance. And by the way, there's a lot pushback, not enough right now. And it's not the phony leadership that's pushing back. They're part of the problem. They hate you as much as the de white Democrats hate you. They take you for granted. So, and I do encourage you to get a hold of Vince Ellison, vinceellison.com. He's also on X. He has a weekly program on X. And he's also got his great book and called 25 Lies, exposing Democrats' most dangerous, seductive, damnable, destructive lies and how to refute them. And he's got a great documentary out. The documentary is called Will You Go to Hell for Me? And it's about how if you happen to promote the Democrat Party agenda, you're going to go to hell. Why is that? Because they support abortion, not just up to 9 months, but even after the baby's born, infanticide. They support homosexuality. They support just transgender stuff, lobbing off an 8-year-old boy's penis just because he thinks he's a girl. They support that. Joe Biden came out. You can find it on YouTube. It's on, I think we uploaded on one of our channels on our YouTube channel. He came out supporting sex change operations for 8-year-olds. And he said they need to, the way God intended them to be. He invokes the name of God while he's promoting this most perverse and disgusting and obscene position. This is the way God wanted you to be. No, God made a mistake at birth. He put a penis on you, and so you were really a girl. So it's God's fault. But that's okay. Modern medicine can change that. Modern technology, yeah, it's not medicine, it's not gender reassignment surgery, it's bodily mutilation. It's one thing to remove a cancerous organ or take some of it off, not all of it maybe. If you have a bone that's been crushed, it might need amputation, an arm that needs amputation. But when you take something that's healthy and you cut it out, that's mutilation. And it's a violation of what used to be the Hippocratic Oath and the Florence Nightingale Oath, do no harm, don't promote this. They were caving into these crazy people. And that's what he meant by, will you go to hell for me? That's what will happen if you adhere to this agenda. Now, point that out. Not everybody who's registered Democrat buys into this stuff. I know a lot of them are afraid to say anything. But I know in the ballot box, they're not all voting for the whole Democrat slate. I know in Boston, I think in 16, Trump got 20% of the vote. That's not 20%. The registered Republicans, I think, are 5%, no more than 10%. So there are many Democrats, people who vote Democrat, that don't miss, or I should say, registered Democrats don't necessarily go along with this. And that's a saving grace that we hope that enough of them we'll say, we can't go with this agenda anymore. It's destructive. It's going to destroy this country. And it's being done from within. It's not, yes, we have outside influences, China, to some extent, Russia, maybe probably to a very minimal extent, but other countries that are working to destroy us from within, but especially China. They're promoting all this stuff, destroying our history, taking down statues, destroying them in some cases. Oh, let me mention too, in Concord, Massachusetts. Now, Concord is a left-wing town, very wealthy. There aren't any trailer parks in Concord, to my knowledge. It's also where the beautiful Concord Bridge is. They have, it's an old town, a lot of history there. It's the home of Ralph Waldo Emerson and Nathaniel Hawthorne, and oh, what's her name? The lady who wrote Little Women and Little Men. The homestead is right there. So a lot of history there, but it's a left-wing town. Most of the Protestant churches there have been totally compromised. You'll see these beautiful Greek Revival churches in town. and they're loaded with Black Lives Matter and rainbow flags. So, and they have a they had a couple of historical markers. When Massachusetts was the 150th anniversary of the state, I think, was officially founded in 1630. And oh, I guess it was not the 150th anniversary. So whatever it was 1930s. The state came up with these historical markers, and there was several hundred of them that were put up around the state to where certain events happened. And so right in the center of Concord. Now, Concord is a small town, just the downtown is maybe four blocks. I think the highest building is at that church steeple. So there aren't any skyscrapers. It has that small town, and it's still very, it's a pretty little town. Little stream that goes through it. You got the Concord River and the Sudbury, I think there's three rivers, Assabet, Sudbury River, and Concord. The Concord Bridge is something you sh if you're a patriot, you need to visit that. It's just a beautiful, there's a, and that's owned by the federal government, by the way. There's a stat Minutemen statue there, one of the Minutemen, the other one in Lexington. So the selectmen discovered a sign that's been there since the 1930s, almost 100 years, 30 years, 90 years. And it made reference to Indians selling land. And oh, we can't have, this is offensive. You can't have this. It was not so, they were under duress. Well, they don't know that. They read Howard Zinn stuff. And they say, oh, no, maybe the Indians sold the land because Indians really, they didn't have the same concept of private property as as the English did. Sometimes they sold land that wasn't theirs to sell, but the narrative is it had to have been under pressure because all white men are evil. So the signs coming down, there's another sign that really had nothing to do with Indians. I think it just mentioned what was going up was a mill that was there. Now they took them down because they're insensitive. So I called, I emailed the town hall, didn't get back to me. I said, look it, I'm establishing, I didn't say look it, I said, I'm going to start a Orwellian memory hole museum, and I'd like to have these two items in my collection to be really good. So please, I'll let me know when I can come by and pick them up. Well, he didn't respond to that. So I actually called, left a message. There's one woman I spoke to. She didn't even know about the signs. I said, do you know if they're going to be taking down that Minutemen statue? And she says, oh, I don't know, because that's on the federal property. So, and then, by the way, the federal government's taking down statues, renaming forts and taking down statues. Somehow the country's imploding. Our military is a laughing stock. You know, it's loaded with people leading it are all woke, and they're worried about Fort Lee, you know, or names after Confederate. I was stationed at Fort Lee, and I think the unit I was in was 85%, maybe 80% black. And nobody cared it was named after Fort. Nobody even gave it a second thought. This is Fort Lee, Virginia, period. That's not, now that's all changed. Not doesn't make us more combat ready, but we feel better about ourselves. You know, we feel more progressive that we got rid of these horrible, horrible Confederates and the Confed. Well, we just take out enough statues and it's going to make the country so much better. No, it's not. Not going to do anything whatsoever. So they got back to me. They called me back. I left a message and told them what I'd like to have them. He got back to me. He says, well, we're really not sure. I said, well, you're going to put them in a warehouse or put them somewhere in town hall. The bitch, you're going to take up room. None of these plaques aren't that big, maybe 2.5 by a foot and a half. And so they said that they'll get back to me. So there's been some pushback. But that's what we need to push back, folks, is if we don't, they're going to completely destroy our history, completely destroy everything good about our history. And they're expecting us just to sit back and take it and do nothing. And that's what happens when we just sit back and take it. They will run with it. Now, in Boston, let me just mention, in Boston, they have, what have they done? About 5 years ago, there was a, some lefty progressive free thinker was visiting George's Island, and George's Island is was a World War, I'm sure, sorry, a Korean, oh, not Korean War, Civil War prison camp. So Confederates, I think the Confederate vice president spent some time there, Alexander Stevens. And in the early 1960s, the there was a chapter of the Daughters of the Confederacy. Yep, a lot of the a lot of the people, they call it reverse carpetbagging. A lot of the people from the South, they thanks to the Reconstruction, the South was impoverished.
So they end up moving north, and they had a chapter in, I don't know how old the chapter was, and they donated it was nothing more than a granite slab with the names of the prisoners who died there. And some lefty got upset about it. They took it down. The governor, he got so, and the mayor, they got so, oh my goodness. He covered it with plywood, and they decided, okay, until we can find a place to put it, which is in storage right now. Now this is the same governor that marches in these gay pride parades. Behind him were women that had their breasts removed, and in front of him were these guys simulating sodomy. That's okay. That's okay, Charlie Baker. But a marker that's been there since 1962, 63. When I visited the island, in the wake of this, I did a little video. I spoke to some of the people, some of the people that worked there, and they said nobody ever complained about this. They looked at it and said, oh, that's kind of interesting. And it didn't say the South shall rise again or down with the Negro race or anything like that. It was a marker of people who died there. And if you understood the history, the commandant of that camp or that prison was very humane. He treated the prisoners very, very well. And when the commandant's son was being sent down south, he was an officer in a Massachusetts unit. The prisoners wrote a letter, and they gave it to the son, and basically said that if he's captured, he should be treated humanely because his father is treating us very humanely, or something to that effect. So there was some goodwill, but you can't have goodwill. It has to always be conflict and hatred and division. Anywhere there was goodwill among people, the left has to come in and screw things up. That's all they know how to do. They're very good at that, causing division. Yeah, so that came down, and I tried to get it. Nobody would. I called elected officials. I called people, and I went to the place where it's in storage. Nobody would give me an official answer. They're all a bunch of moral cowards. And then during the summer of love, the spring and summer of love, mainly peaceful protesters, there was a statue of Christopher Columbus in Boston's North End that was there on city property. It was put there in the early 70s or mid 70s. It hadn't been there for, 100 years. Not that it'd make a difference. And among the people that donated money for this statue, it was a gift from a number of people, including the Kennedy family. Okay. And up until the Floyd riots, politicians went to the Columbus Day parade, including Marty Walsh. Oh, everybody was okay with Columbus when they had the parades, and that's a place where they'd be seen. And then just on a dime, they turn around. Oh, Columbus, we have to destroy his memory. He was evil. He was this. And by the way, I've done shows on Columbus over the years. There's much misinformation about him. He was a human being. He wasn't perfect, but he didn't murder millions of people. He had a relatively humane attitude towards the natives. He did war against some of them, but they were cannibals, and they were killing other Indians, and that's why he went to the Caribs, and that's why he went after them. But the idea that he was some kind of evil person that killed millions, that's a lie. That's another Howard Zinn lie. So some people would rather believe the lie because they want to believe it. So they Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, they destroyed this, they cut the head off the statue. And there's a group called the Italian American Association. They said, hey, look, they met with the mayor. The mayor was playing it cool. Well, let things cool down. They had no intention of putting that statue back up. They lied to these people. So the mob wins. So I think eventually the statue is going to be Knights of Columbus are going to get it and maybe repair it. And it's going to be on private land, but available to the public. But the statue in the city place was taken away. Then about a year later, there's a statue of Abraham Lincoln, and it's a replica of the one in D.C. that has Lincoln. And there's a slave, and he's in front of Lincoln. He's not looking at Lincoln saying, oh, you're the great white master that's freed us. He's standing up. He's halfway up between kneeling and standing up, and looking for his freedom. And this statue was taken down because a teenager was no doubt pushed by the left to have a petition, and the City Arts Commission unanimously, just like a Soviet Politburo, rubber stamp, take it down. So a statue that's been there since the 1870s, paid in part by former slaves, was taken down because some people were offended by it. They didn't like, they thought it was Lincoln as the great white man looking over the Negro, and he had, the Negro had to look at the white man for his freedom and other stuff. And that's what's going on. People, and they're going to be taking down Washington statues. There's a beautiful statue. It's actually what you call a relief. There's different types of reliefs, full relief, bas relief, but it's St. Gaudens was the sculpture, and it is across the street from the State House in Boston on Boston Common, and it depicts the black of the first all black Civil War unit, the 54th Massachusetts. They made a nice movie, a good movie called Glory about it, and it had a white leader, of course. That's how they were, and it had these soldiers, and in the back of it there's a Bible verse, and there's an angel over the men as they're going off to battle. And the Black Lives Matter Antifa damaged this. They're taking down, they even took down a statue at Frederick Douglass. Why? Because Frederick Douglass said the Constitution was a liberty document. Basically, it took a long time for enough, the political will to make it happen, but he didn't look at the Constitution as an evil thing. And so because of that, you've got to blot out his memory too. But I think it's going to backfire. I think the left has overplayed their hand. The old saying, well, not a saying, it's in Revelation, the devil knows its time is short. So we have to persevere. We have to take a stand against this. We can't sit back and just let it happen. We have to, and that's why it's good to have books like this, books like the Iron Triangle and 25 Lies. And there's a great series of books called The Politically Incorrect Guide to America. There's one called The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History by Tom Woods, who's a friend of ours. He goes into the relationship between Indians. There was a lot of injustices, no question about it. But he goes into the early years and how just that the Pilgrims treated the Indians, and William Penn and his great relationship with the Indians, and things of that nature. And also he goes into slavery. And yes, slavery wasn't a good thing, not defending it, but slavery was not unique to the United States. In fact, the United States played a key role in abolishing it. England, to their credit, played the major role. And you got most of the world, the secular world, the Muslim world, the pagan world, they were indifferent to it. They didn't even understand why would you be opposed to it. It's just a way of life. But it was Christianity, Christians in these nations that eventually abolished it in the rest of the world. So we don't have to be self-loathing and hate ourselves. And yes, the Jim Crow laws were wrong. There was a lot of, again, a lot of injustices. But you look at the good things. You look at the today. The standard of living is the best in the world. You ask yourself, some illegal aliens are not coming here because they're part of a military operation. They're coming here because life pretty much stinks in their countries. So they're coming here for a better life. Well, if we're so evil and so racist, why would they even consider coming here? Think about that. We get about another minute left. I just want to mention that there was a left-wing woman in New Hampshire, a former state senator from Peterborough, New Hampshire. She created I call it a hate list. It's called an anti-Democrat extremist list, town by town. And yours truly is on it. And the purpose of this list is basically she wants her people to harass, cancel, fire, boycott, even acts of violence against us. So she thinks that this is going to deter us, and there's over 500 of us. Well, I got news for you. I'm not going to. In fact, this encourages me. So you can put my name on any list you want. It's a badge of honor to be considered one of your enemies. I like to win you over. Like to show you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's really the solution here. And I'll pray for all these because the Bible says we have to pray for our enemies. But you could put me on one of these lists, and I'm not concerned about my personal safety. I am concerned about my family members. But anyway, running out of time, we want to thank you for listening. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. And until next week, may God richly bless you.